with her kneecap and lumbar this week. He has hardly let me stay in one town long enough to say hello and goodbye, but we have enjoyed the Speed the Light tour thus far and are expecting to continue to enjoy it and believe West Texas can do more than you've ever done in the history of West Texas for Speed the Light. There's no time to stop.
Amen.
As said, we have appreciated for some time the Jacksons, and I only wish my family could be here to be with them and be with you. This man preached this account several years ago, as he said, and God anointed his ministry. And I have told many, many people, and I say this very sincerely, this is one gentleman that I appreciate him very, very much. And I believe he is led of God. He said a little while ago, there are two decaps in the service tonight. Only a retired decap would dare venture have two in one service at one time. I'm glad that I'm living in this day, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Incidentally, some mentioned earlier, and Brother Jackson already mentioned, that this is the place where Brother George Murray lived for a couple or 3 years. He is a choice friend of mine and our family, and has been just about as long as I can remember. And I'm sure that if he knew I was going to be here, he would send choice greetings to you, because I've heard him mention Snyder, Texas quite a bit. And so I'll just tell you hello from him and tell him hello from you when I see him. Is that all right? All right. He's a fine guy. So we have a mutual friend already besides Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We were singing that song, I'll Be Satisfied, a while ago. And I like this walk of life that I'm in now. I'm satisfied with Jesus, and I can assure you that those that love him are satisfied with him too, but you constantly want more and more and more of him. If you're the way I am, the only way I could sum it up, I heard a lady testify one time, and she stood and said, I praise God for a dissatisfied satisfaction. I guess that's about the best way you can sum it up. You want more and more of him, and yet you're satisfied with what he's given you, and you want more of what he's got.
Amen.
Amen. We've got the big end of the stick in this day that we're living. We're not on the losing side. When you get worried and fretting about it, and when we begin to get concerned about what the future holds, don't worry about it. I remember as a kid, I began to read the books, and as I'd sit there and read a book, and way up into the night, reading and reading and reading, and my main character that I was involved in, and put myself in his place, and became so involved in it, I thought that I was the main character. You know how it is as you read, and about halfway through, he got in bad trouble. It looked like he just wasn't going to make it at all, and everything was dark and bleak all around him, and it just seemed like he wasn't going to be able to pull through, and I began to get afraid, and I'd sneak way over to the back of the book and read the last three or four chapters or three or four pages and look, and finally at the end, and always he lives happily ever after and all of that business, and I'd go back and read the rest of it and know it's going to be okay. You see, I've read the end of this book, and it says we win. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. The end of the book says it all is going to turn out okay, and I'm glad I'm on God's side. Praise
Amen.
God. As some have already mentioned, being in church, Wampler said he'd been in church all of his life. I can assure you I've been in the same state. It didn't make any difference what was happening in church. I was there, whether it was women's meeting, men's meeting, kids' meeting, adults' meeting, whatever. I just happened to be there, not sometimes by choice, but I was there anyway. I can assure you I'd rather be on God's side than any side in the world. Amen. We've got this thing that we're sometimes a little afraid to stand up. The world says, well, you're off on the deep end. And the world looks sometimes and says, you've lost your mind. No, it's not that way. They're the ones that's lost their mind. They're the ones that really haven't found themselves.
They say
you get excited and you shout and you rejoice. We've got more to shout about than anybody else does. Why can't we rejoice?
Amen.
Amen. We're happy in the Lord. Praise God. they're the ones that really haven't found themselves. They get excited. You can walk into any athletic event you want to, and some man might cuss you out as you go down the aisle to sit in front of him, but if you're far the same team, he might be punching you in the back with a great big cigar before long and saying, "Buddy, you're the best friend I ever had." They don't know where they're going, but they get all excited about it. They get all thrilled and all elated about everything that happens, and they say, "We're crazy when we get excited about what Jesus has done for us."
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen, amen. The world's one says, "Ah, you shouldn't shout and you shouldn't rejoice." I heard the story here a while back. There were some young people up on a porch way out in a country on a farm. They were listening to some loud rock music, and it was blaring until you could hear it about a mile away. Incidentally, I heard they took a poll just recently about young people listening to loud music. They asked them if they thought it was going to affect their hearing in the future or in the present with the music being so loud. 50% of them said that they thought it probably would, and the other 50% said, "What did you say?" So the music was so loud that it was blaring for about a mile down the road. Everybody was listening, and everybody could hear. They just drove along and listened, and the young people were up on the porch, and they're the ones that say, "We're crazy." And they were going through all sorts of gyrations and movements and dancing and doing every possible thing up there. And there were two old hound dogs that were laying out in the yard, and one looked over to the other one, and he said, "You see what they're doing up there?" And the one said, "I do." He said, "If we'd do something like that, they'd worm us." You see, they think we've lost our mind. I'm glad I'm on God's side, aren't you? Yes, sir. I'd rather be alive today than any time in all of history. I believe we're living in the day when we're going to see Jesus Christ, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, amen.
Amen. It's not going to be very long until we see him face to face, and then we'll be able to say it's been worth it all. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I feel his presence here tonight. Amen, amen. I'm glad we can laugh as Christians, aren't you? I like what Brother Jackson said a little while ago. I wouldn't buy anything from anybody if they were trying to sell it and they were upset about the product they had. I'm glad we can smile in trials and smile on the mountaintops. God must have liked smiles. God must have liked folks that laughed. He must have. If God didn't like laughter, I can assure you he wouldn't have made some folks I know, because you can just see them and almost laugh sometimes. Laughter, excitement is contagious.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. The thrill of Lord Jesus Christ. You get excited about him and a revival will break out somewhere. You get excited about Jesus. In fact, half of a revival meeting is getting excited about
Praise
him.
Praise God.
You fall in love with him over and over again, and before long, somebody else wants to fall in love with him. And before long, it begins to spread, and everybody begins to break through and find the love is genuine and it's true. Hallelujah.
Yes.
As a little chorus said, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. One spark. And one spark can be ignited in any high school in the nation, I believe, and a revival will burn. One spark can be ignited on the job, wherever a person works, and everybody around will know that there's a fire glowing within that individual's heart and within their lives. Hallelujah. I feel a fire burning tonight, don't you? I believe if the fire burns bright enough, somebody will want to get close and warm in the fire and in the warmth of the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. If you will, turn with me tonight to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and we'll begin reading with verse 14. That'll be the only verse, I suppose. Genesis 24 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, that down thy pitcher I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. I was reading this 24th chapter just a little while ago, the entire story. And in this particular chapter, you will find one of the most beautiful love stories in all of God's Word. You will find there are four primary characters. First of all, you'll find Abraham, who is the father. And Abraham, the father, represents in this chapter and in my message tonight, the father or God the Father. And then you will find his son Isaac, who represents the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You will find the servant, and we learn in earlier chapters his name is Eliezer, and he represents the Holy Spirit. You will find in that chapter Rebekah, the bride of Isaac, or who represents the bride of Christ, or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I look at these four characters, the story begins to play in front of me. As Abraham one day calls his servant in, Eliezer, and he said, Eliezer, I want you to go into my homeland and secure a bride for my son Isaac. And I want you to find her and bring her back here so that she can marry my son, because I have the specific details laid out and I want you to find the particular and the specific one. I can assure you that if there is one thing we must agree upon as Christians today, and that is one fundamental truth, the Holy Spirit is in our day and our age seeking out a bride for the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. As the Holy Spirit is wooing around the world, he says, whosoever will may come, and let him drink of the water of life freely. And anyone can drink, whether he is a beggar or a tramp, and before long as he drinks, he will become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. As I look at this particular story, it reminds me of our present day as the Holy Spirit is in our world seeking sinners so that he can woo them to the saving knowledge and the glorious truth that Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. And as we begin to look at the story unfold before us, the Holy Spirit, as he draws us together, he is drawing us together for one purpose. And I can assure you the signs around, as the song says, in earth or air, are painted on the starlit sky, proved with unerring accuracy one glorious truth, and that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Is going to come again. Amen. Hallelujah. He is going to come, and is going to come very soon. I believe it with all of my heart. The king is coming to greet thousands of jewels, not as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but he's coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as I see him, as John saw him, I want to bow before him and sing what we sang a little while ago. Holy, holy, holy Lord God. Hallelujah. Almighty. Amen. All heaven and earth shall proclaim that he is the Lord God omnipotent that reigneth forever and ever. Thanks be unto God. When I see all of the things that are happening around us today, I can assure you that these signs are coming to a close and bringing us to a fast consummation of our world, when we are going to see him and be able to proclaim him as our Lord and Master forever and ever. Abraham, you see, wanted a bride that had not been tarnished with the things of the world. He wanted a bride for his son Isaac, who had not given herself over to the things that were around her. who had kept herself pure and holy and spotless. Abraham said, you get that specific one. In fact, he went so far as to say, I want you to get a bride that's called by the same name I am called by. I want you to get one of my kindred. I don't want you to get a Canaanite woman. I don't want you to get one who has given herself over to the world. But I want you to get one who's called by my same name. I cannot help but believe that the Father asked the Holy Spirit, when you are searching for a bride for my son Jesus Christ, I want you to find one who has not given herself over to the things of the world, but one who has kept herself pure, yes, and spotless and holy and ready for the bride. How ready for the wedding that is going to happen very, very soon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As I see the Holy Spirit working in our churches today, I believe with all of my heart the Holy Spirit is wooing. Heaven is calling us, and I want to be ready to go when Jesus comes. Don't Amen. You? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go, Eliezer, he said, and find that specific one. And then the servant posed a question to him. He said, peradventure, the woman will not follow me. Just perhaps she won't come after I give her an invitation. What if she says, no, I just won't follow? He said, then after that comes, and if she says no, then the charge will not be laid to you. You'll be free of the charge that I've given you. You just do what I've asked you to do. I wonder sometimes how many times the Holy Spirit has had to say, what do I do now after I've led them so far and after I brought them so far, and they say, no, I just don't believe I want to follow any closer. I just don't believe I want to get any closer to you. What do I do then? And I am persuaded to believe the answer is still the same. After the Holy Spirit brings us so far and we go no farther, then I am sure the charge is laid to him to seek someone else to become a part of the bride Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of us, when the Holy Spirit calls us, we say, well, I'm as close as I need to be. I just don't believe I need to get any closer. It reminds me of the story I heard of the three little boy scouts who walked into a meeting one day. And as they walked in, the scoutmaster said, son, what was your good deed for the day? And he said, I helped an old lady across the street downtown. And he came to the second one and said, what was your good deed for the day? And he said, I helped him help the same lady across the street downtown. And he came to the third one and said, what was your good deed? And he said, I helped these two fellows help the same lady across the street downtown. And he said, did it take all three of you to help the same lady across the street? And the first one said, yeah, she didn't want to go. So you see, that's the way sometimes we are. As the Holy Spirit calls us, and as the Holy Spirit woos us, we say, no, I'm just as close as I want to be. But God help us today in this day of revival. If we as a church should ever be militant, if we should ever wave a flag to the world and say we are on the march for Jesus Christ, it is now.
Amen.
If there was ever a time we should stand and firm on the word of God, unmoving and unwavering by the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming to a darkened world that Jesus says, this is our day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is our time for revival. It is our time to move forward faster than we have ever moved before.
Hallelujah.
Some folks can sit on the premises of a church as long as they want to. I think some folks have been holding them down for years and years, just sitting down on the edges and saying, well, this is as far as we need to go. It's time that we tighten the tent strings. It's time that we drove new stakes. It's time that we made the tents larger. It's
Amen.
Time that we waved the banners to the world. It's time that we proclaim Jesus still saves. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He still has all glory
Hallelujah.
And all majesty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, don't worry. If she won't come, that's all. Just go on. Just come on back. There's a lot of reason a lot of churches don't want revival today. simply because when revival comes, there's a lot of effort that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
When revival comes, there's a lot of work that goes along with it. And a lot of folks are just plain too lazy to do work for God. And I have a firm conviction that there are going to be very few lazy folks that get to heaven.
Amen.
Very few lazy folks are going to get to heaven because God wants somebody that's working. God wants somebody that's doing something. God wants somebody that's energetic for Him. Abraham said, "You just go, servant, and I'm going to load you down with all the goods of the master," the Bible says. And he took 10 of the master's camels and he loaded them down with all of the goods that he could possibly give him. A little sampling of everything Abraham had. And as he started along, they tell me that a camel is a rough ride. I've never been on one. But they tell me that he has one foot up when it should be down and the other down when it should be up. And he's just a rough ride as you ride along, up and down. I don't know. But I do know that on a rough old ride, sometimes the bundles get knocked off. And they would have us to believe today that the bundles that were strapped to the camels 2,000 years ago have already dropped off down through the centuries. They would have us to believe that along about the turn of the first century, that business of being healed by the stripes that were laid on Jesus' back, that bundle dropped off. And a few centuries later, the bundle of the infilling of the Holy Spirit dropped off. And a few centuries later, the bundle of being saved by grace dropped off. And today that bundle of Jesus coming again has already dropped off. And the bundle now, they tell us Jesus was not even born of a virgin. And by the time the camels get to the 20th century, they are filthy, dirty, barren, and have no goods whatsoever to offer anyone who is alive today. Well, sir, I tell you there is another story to that as well. For I believe with all of my heart the camels are loaded with all the goods that they began with. I still believe we're saved by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I still believe we can be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I still believe that we're healed by the stripes that were laid on His back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I still believe Jesus was born of a virgin. I still believe Jesus is going to come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. They say the Holy Spirit was just for the early church because they were weak and insignificant and because they needed an extra added strength to get going. Well, there is an old Negro spiritual that I've heard all of my life that if the early church was weak, I would like to add right there, sir, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need Him now. If there was ever a time the church was weak and insignificant, if there was ever a time we weren't making headway in our world, we need the power of the Holy Spirit today to hold the torch to the world and proclaim to them there is a light. Hallelujah. So that all the darkness of the world can find Jesus Christ.
That's it. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory to God. He took those 10 camels and started down toward the well. And when he got there, he made all 10 camels kneel down. And as those 10 camels began to kneel down, he said, "Father, I pray that the damsel who comes out and I ask her for a drink of water, that she will be the one that offers to give me a drink and all of my camels as well. I pray that this would be the one that you've chosen for your servant Isaac." And about eventide, a lady began to come out of the gates of the city toward the well with her bucket on her shoulder, her pitcher on her shoulder. And as she walked along toward the well and she finally got to the well, the Bible says she was a lovely lady. And as the servant walked over to her and said, "Ma'am, would you mind giving me a drink of water?" And she turned with her pitcher. And I do not believe that she came out of the gates of that city by mere circumstance.
I don't believe she came just by accident. I don't believe she came just because it was something to do at that time. I believe in God's perfect timing. I believe God can use every one of us on the specific time, the specific second that He intends to use us. Hallelujah. C.M. Ward talked about a revival that started in his church in Bakersfield, California, several years ago when they were going through somewhat a drought in their church. I don't know whether you know what that is or not, but some of our churches have had some droughts so long they wouldn't know what a rain was, I suppose. But as they had had a drought for a long time and couldn't sense a moving of the Holy Spirit, there was a lady in his church who was an old maid who sat way in the back of the building. And very seldom would anybody notice her. Very seldom would she become an object of attention because she kept herself in the background. But one Sunday morning, God touched her life. And as she stood to her feet, He said, ordinarily she was awkward and gangly. But that Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit touched her life. She stepped out in the aisle and began to dance down the aisle, back and forth, gracefully as a swan floating on the water. And before long, someone said, "Do you want us to stop her? Do you want us to sit her down?" And He said, "Don't touch her. Don't say anything to her. Let her go and let God use her." And before long, grown men began to weep and cry like babies and made their way to the altar. And revival began to burn and start in that particular church that day. Hallelujah. God's timing is perfect. God's timing in our lives is what every one of us
Amen.
Do. Glory to God. I do not play the piano, but I can assure you that those who do, when they want to play some beautiful piece and they want to end it, want some low note or they want to hit some high note, it is very seldom used. High A is often not as, or used not as often many times as middle C. But if you wanted to hit the highest or the lowest note on that piano, you would want it to be just as in tune as if it were middle A or middle C. I can assure you many times we come to church and we're never asked to testify, we're never asked to sing a song. We might not ever ask to be doing any something special in church, but let me tell you, when God touches your key, He wants you to be in tune just as sure as if you were used every time you came to the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
She was on time as she walked out of the gates of the city. And she drew from the well. And as she went down in the well, she got the water clear and crystal and cool to quench the thirst. She went down in the well. There's something about it. The farther down in the well you go, the higher up you come. Hallelujah. The farther down toward the water you go, when you get up, you're going to scale the mountaintop where there's victory and glory.
Hallelujah.
And down in the well of salvation, you can go and bring the water out. And He said, "Ma'am, would you give me something to drink?" And she said, "Here, let me give you some water." She turned and looked at all the camels, and she said, "Let me give your camels drink as well." And she went back to the well and got some water and started toward the first camel, and she filled the old trough. And as she filled it with water, the first camel drank until he was completely satisfied. Out of those 10, if it had been me, or probably some folks I know that had gone back to the servant and that had said, "Eliezer, I've already done a tenth. I've paid my tithes, and that's all I'm going to do." If you want the other 9 filthy, dirty camels watered, you can water them yourself. Here's the bucket and there's the well. And there's the camels. Do it yourself. She ran away from the well and said, "Forget it." No, sir. The Bible says that she ran back to the well. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, when you begin to give water that you'll never thirst again to folks that are dying for lack of thirst, and they begin to see their thirst satisfied and their thirst quenched, before long, you say, "Where's the well? And let me give somebody else another drink."
Amen. That's what it works.
There's something about telling somebody about Jesus Christ. That's the most joyous, the happiest thing that anybody could possibly do. You want to tell the whole world, glory to God,
Hallelujah.
That Jesus saves.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
And as she went back to the well, she drew enough water for all 10 camels. And she filled all of the trough. And as the Eliezer went back to one of the camels, he drew out some earrings and some bracelets and walked over to her and said, "Here, let me give you these gifts. And let me go to your home. Is there room there for all of us to stay?" She said, "You're welcome in our house. Just come on." And they all went over to the house. And as they went over that night, Eliezer sat there. And he explained from the beginning, right up to the point where he was, why he was there, what he was doing there, and what he wanted. And after he had explained it all, he said, "Go get a few more gifts." And as they got a few more gifts, he brought them out and gave them to her, gave them to the family, gave them to folks that were around there, the brethren. And I can assure you that's what the Holy Spirit is doing today. Hallelujah. He says, "Here, let me give you a new gift, and let me give you a new blessing." After I was saved, I felt every day was Christmas all over again. Glory to God. When I received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I felt it was the greatest thing I'd ever had in all of my life. And the Holy Spirit, what does the Word say? "Now we have received an earnest of our inheritance." The Holy Spirit has a sampling of all that glory has for us. Hallelujah. And I can assure you that day that Eliezer was just whetting her appetite as he gave her a few samplings along of what was going to be hers as she journeyed with him to the end of the line. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Not once, but time and again, he gave her some gifts over and over and over. Jesus gets sweeter and sweeter every day. Hallelujah. Somebody said Jesus is the sweetest one. And most Christians don't have spiritual diabetes as sweet as Jesus is. He gets sweeter and sweeter. The more you fall in love with him, the more love he bestows on us.
Hallelujah.
The more joy he gives us.
Thank you.
He sat at the home and said, "Would you come with me?" And the parents and everybody else said, "That's fine. That's okay. We'll let her go." He was overjoyed and he began to praise God. The next day he started to load the camels down. And as he started loading all the camels, the family came out and said, "I tell you what, why don't you let her stay with us about 10 days? We'd like to see her just a little longer." And he said, "Don't hold me. Don't keep me. Don't let me wait. I've got to get back and let her go." And they said, "All right, we'll ask her opinion." She came to the door. And he said, "What about it? Will you go?" She said, "I will go." I can assure you, a long time ago when I knelt at an altar and found Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I said, "I'll go." Glory to God. I don't know. She didn't know what color eyes the man had. She didn't know what Isaac looked like. She didn't know how tall he was, how much he weighed, what color hair he had. She knew very little about him. But when the servant said, "Will you go?" She said, "I'm ready. Let's go." I can assure you, I don't know what he looks like. I don't know what color hair he has, nor eyes. I don't know how tall in stature he is. But I do know one thing. When the Holy Spirit says, "Do you want to see him?" I said, "I want to see him. Look upon his face."
Hallelujah.
Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past. Home at last. Looking on Jesus. Glory, glory to God. She jumped on the old camel and away they went. Out across the desert, up and down and up and down and up and down. I told you a little while ago, it's a rough ride. I don't know how rough it is. One preacher said he had ridden a camel on a little caravan for about 10 miles out in the desert one time. And a lady came to him when they got to their destination and said, "Sir, you know, I have never ridden a camel in all of my life. I had to ride a donkey out here." And he said, "I'll do you a favor and swap with you and let you ride the camel, and I'll ride the donkey back to 10 miles. And he said, "The woman's never spoken to him since. It was so rough a ride. But as they rode along, it was up and down and up and down. And sometimes the church seems to hit the pinnacle and bottom out in the valley. And sometimes as we ride along in the old camel, it seems like a rough, enduring ride that's never going to end. It seems like we just keep riding and riding and riding, and the day gets long, and the heat of the day gets terrible upon us and begins to bear down upon us. But as we go up and down and up and down, you can believe me when I say Rebecca's eyes were not on the ride. Her thoughts were not on the ups and downs. Her thought was on the prize. That was the end of the journey. Hallelujah. If we get our mind on the ride, we'll forget the prize. But if we keep our mind on the prize at the end of the journey, the ups and downs won't matter. Glory to God. Amen. And we can ride through strife and toil. We can ride through disappointments and heartaches. We can ride through the sunshine or the rain, because our heart is fixed, our mind is fixed on things that are above. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And she began to ride up and down and up and down. She was thinking, what's he look like? I know very little about him. I just said I would go a little while ago. And I know God is in it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready to go up and down and up and down. And about eventide, the Bible says, Isaac walked out in the field to meditate. And as he sat there in the field, he probably was wondering the same thing about Rebecca that Rebecca was about him. And as he sat there wondering, all at once, he looked, and coming down the road was a great big herd of camels with the dust boiling all around them. Let me tell you, sometimes it seems the church may stumble and fall, and sometimes it seems like it might be making a great big dust storm as it rumbles along up and down. But you can believe in the middle of that herd of camels was the most beautiful jewel that Isaac had ever laid his eyes on.
Hallelujah.
You can believe that right in the middle of this old world, though the dust may boil around us, there is a bride of Christ that Jesus was willing to die for 2,000 years ago. Glory to God. And about that time, Isaac looked and he saw the camels coming. And Rebekah looked and saw a man in the field and said, is that the man? And he said, that's the man. The Bible says that she jumped off the camel because she couldn't wait. She longed to see him. Let me tell you, one of these days before long, as we ride along and the dust begins to boil, and it seems the clouds begin to hover over us, and it seems all the darkness of hell begins to confront us, you can believe, I believe Jesus sits every once in a while and just scoots to the edge of his seat and says, Father, isn't it just about time? Isn't it just about the moment? And one of these days, the Father's going to say, son, this is the hour.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel blow the trumpet like you've never done before. And about that time, Jesus is going to appear. Glory to God. And we're going to leave here. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You talk about a homecoming. You talk about a reunion.
Amen.
You talk about a thrill. You talk about an exciting time. That little song I like that says, I'm going to run and run and run to see my Jesus. I'm going to fly and fly and fly to see my Jesus when he comes. When he comes, it could be tonight. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Glory.
It could be before we get home that we're
going
to see.
That's right. Him. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory to God. I'm longing for it, aren't you?
Amen.
We were singing a while ago, the young lady did just a little bit ago, about the blind man tapping along, about the man who was crippled. When we get there, all heartaches and disappointments and bereavements are going to be behind us. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Brother Gene Jackson, who I understand preached your CA convention last year, is that right? Who is now superintendent of the Tennessee district. This man was preaching a revival for me a few years ago. And his little girl, as he probably mentioned, Jana, was born blind. He said they went through all kinds of difficulties in their mind and troubles and things that they naturally were wondering why did it happen and so forth. We stayed in their home, and my kids, who are about the same age, stayed with her. She's one of the smartest little girls I've ever seen, brilliant. She'd walk through the house and know everything that was in there, brave. She'd bump her head on the door facing or on the wall or something that was left in the path, and she'd fall and stumble and get up and go on when my kids would have been crying. Saw one day as she bumped into something and she did cry, and I just had to do a little bit myself and say, one of these days, Lord, I'm looking forward to the day you're going to come and all the blindness is just going to be done away.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He was preaching a revival for me about 5 years ago, I guess. And she thinks she can do anything anybody else can do. She thinks the only difference in you and her is she, you can see and she can't. That's all. She rides a scooter. She skips and jumps and does just about everything that I've seen a normal kid do. She was riding a scooter along the sidewalk. He got a call after church one night and said, Jana was riding her scooter along the sidewalk today, and she slipped off the sidewalk and fell and broke her arm. Sister Jackson was telling him about the ordeal, and she was crying and weeping at the, while she was talking. So what was the deal? And she said, well, the day when we took her to the hospital to set her arm, took her into the emergency room, and in a little while, the nurse came running out of the emergency room, and tears were just streaming freely down her cheeks unashamedly. And as she was standing there crying, said, Janet was standing there, Sister Jackson was standing there crying as well, and she said, well, what's the matter? What's the matter? The nurse said, that's got to be the bravest little girl that I have ever seen in all my life. And then she said, why is that? She said, well, I was trying to comfort her and set her arm just a little while ago and make her easy. And said, she looked up at me and said, nurse, I can't see you now, but one of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to see you. Hallelujah. I said to myself, thanks be unto God. It's not going to be long until in one moment, in one split atom of time. Time shall be no more, and Satan can take all of his diseases,
oh,
all of his heartaches, and all of his bereavements, and we're going to leave them behind. Glory to God. When you talk about a time, we're going to leave here shouting the glories and the praises of God.
Amen.
It's just about time for us to lay down a cross and go home.
Hallelujah.
It's just about time to see him.
Hallelujah. Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet all over the building? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want those of you here tonight, you would say with me, I'm ready to go. I'm longing for Jesus to come. I'm looking forward to his soon appearing. I'm ready to leave this world of ups and downs. I'm ready to leave this world of heartaches and sorrows, pain and disappointment. I'm ready to see him, and I want to take as many with me as I possibly can. I want you just to find a place around this front, if you will, and let's tell him, cry out as John did, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Would you come all over this building? 100%. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.